I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 10 did not disappoint in the conference. We take a look at the updated odds entering week number 11. Alabama, the sole team right there as the team to beat entering week number 11, plus 105 price, followed by undefeated Texas A&M at plus 230, Georgia at 5-1, Ole Miss at 11-1, and the Longhorns hot as a pistol, fresh off their victory over Vanderbilt on Saturday afternoon within striking distance. Give me your thoughts about the SEC as a whole, and I'll ask you again, is Alabama still the team to beat this coming season?
Well, I'm still not sure I would say they're the team to beat. I would just say in the SEC, they're one of the teams to beat. They're a lot like Georgia in different ways. They play really good football, but they're not a great defensive football team. Alabama throws it a little better. Georgia runs it a little better. Both of them play okay, solid defense. And so you don't see that dominant scores week in and week out like you might see in the Big Ten with Indiana, Ohio State. But I do think Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia are the top three teams based upon their talent. But let me tell you something. For the money, I love Ole Miss getting there because their schedule, they're going to win out and they're going to get to the game. And they are good enough on a given Saturday to beat any of those three teams. So for the money, I think Texas has still got to beat Georgia. They got to beat Texas A&M during the regular season. But I really like, for the money, I love that 11-1 with Ole Miss because they've got a schedule that's probably going to get them into the SEC championship game.
Yeah, Ole Miss does get the victory on Saturday night, 30-14 over South Carolina and Lenore Sellers. They do cover as a 12.5-point home favorite in the Grove. Trinidad Chambliss and that offense have been consistent. Defensively, they're coming along at just the right time in the regular season. We'll see how it plays out for Lane Kiffin and the Rebels the second half in November. Another team that we mentioned was Georgia. They sit right there, Coach. At a 5-1 price, they struggled in a rivalry game with the interim head coach, yeah, Bobby Gonzalez. They laid 7.5 points in the matchup. They should have covered if it wasn't for Gunnar Stockton knee at the one-yard line.
And it wasn't even necessary. It would have put them up by double scores. 11. I don't know why they do that.
It's amazing.
Let me say this while you're talking about that. What if on the next play – they bobble, the lineman jumps off the sides, or they bobble the snap, or anything could happen if you got to take that ball one more snap. Anyway, that being said, I was kind of worried for all the – I felt bad for all those Georgia fans that love their team enough to put them on their ticket.
Unbelievable. But we've seen Georgia struggle. They struggled, you know, they needed a second half comeback against Ole Miss. They lost to Alabama. Again, we think Florida's good from, a personnel perspective.
Right.
But with an interim staff and coming out of a bye week, you thought Georgia would be a little bit more prepared and come out maybe with a little bit more intensity. And they struggled but found a way to pull that ball game out. When you see Georgia as a whole, Coach, thoughts, because I still think they're the best chance in the conference to win a national championship. I still buy into Kirby Smart making the adjustments down the stretch, but I need to see that consistency, and it's not going to be an easy road this weekend going into Stark Vegas against a team in Miss State that got their first conference win.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Florida team played just like I thought they would. I thought they would be ready to play. They've got a good coaching staff, and I think everybody there was getting their job done. If he doesn't kneel on the ball, they score at exactly what we thought the score would be. Georgia's got to quit not scoring early, not playing good early. They get behind. Of course, you know you got Kirby Smart, who understands how to win big games, but he wants to come out, run the ball, establish the line of scrimmage, power, power, power. But happens is defense is not putting pressure on quarterbacks. They're not getting sacks, and they're falling behind. And now they spend all that time, instead of wearing people out and getting ahead, they're having to wear people out just to catch up. And that will catch up with them. But I think from a standpoint of a head coach that has a team and he understands how to have them ready in the second half, how to win the big game, the talent level that they have, I think in the SEC – they're right there on very top of the SEC as team, I think, would win that. I just don't know how far they can go in the college football playoffs after that because of the defense is not quite as strong as they usually are.
All right, let's take a look at the national championship odds right now. We talk about Georgia. They're a 13-1 price. Texas A&M has a tough matchup this week against Missouri. They're on the road. Ole Miss sits at 19-1. How about the Longhorns? 33-1 long shot. They did knock out Vanderbilt. They have two losses, one of them in conference, the other one to Ohio State, the top team in all of college football. Thoughts about that victory on Saturday afternoon, because they jumped out yet again to a big lead, had to hold on for dear life. They win it but don't cover. In some spots, they were a 3.5-point home favorite. They win it exactly by 3 points Saturday afternoon.
Well, Texas, I think we see why people keep betting on them, why keep pulling. They have such talent. And for the first half of that football game, it looked like to me, here we go again, the talented upper echelon of the conference playing against a wannabe, a team that really played hard but didn't have the talent level. That's the way it looked. You took the first pass, a little swing pass behind the line of scrimmage. The receiver makes two people miss, run 75 yards for a touchdown. But then we saw Texas kind of not to slow down, lose their momentum, and we saw why Vandy is so good. So Texas, again, they have the talent. We saw that in the first half, but they also lack that killer instinct that you got to have to go out there and win week in and week out for them to win the national championship. But we'll see, because right now the important thing is getting into that final 12.
Absolutely, and Arch Manning now back-to-back consistent performances. He stepped up with a 300-yard performance against Miss State, had a very solid performance against a very good Vanderbilt defense. We'll see how it plays out in the month of November for Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns. An SEC elimination game took place last Saturday night in Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. Tennessee was a 2.5-3-point home favorite over Oklahoma. Oklahoma had lost the week before as a 5.5-point home favorite over Ole Miss, but they brought their lunch pail on Saturday night in Knoxville. They grind out a victory, Coach, 33-27, and we saw John Mateer potentially bounce back into form. Oklahoma could be a very dangerous team heading into the month of November.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the total product that John Mateer gives you, because you look at the yardage passing, it doesn't look like that much. But then he's rushed for 80 yards, making critical plays, scoring a critical touchdown, and being a leader at the right time. And it was a great challenge of the defense of Oklahoma against the outstanding offense at Tennessee. And although Tennessee has all the stats, they had tons of yardage. They had three critical turnovers that all led to points. Two interceptions led to field goals. Then the fumble, scoop, and score. That really was a 7-point score. All of those by Joey Aguilar. It was a case of a mature veteran, John Mateer, doing what he had to do. Joey Aguilar throwing for a ton of yardage, making great plays, but turning the ball over at critical times.
Absolutely. And again, you saw the ground attack of Oklahoma take place and take effect in the fourth quarter. Mateer did have a touchdown run to seal the deal and put them up by 6 points. And when you just look at Oklahoma and their body of work, they did lose to Texas in the Red River rivalry. Only loss outside of that came by 8 points to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. This is a team that if they potentially can knock off Alabama and win out, they could be an at-large team, coach, at 10-2 overall. And Brett Venables, we know that defensive mind in the month of November could be very difficult to knock off.
Yeah, it will be very difficult because, again, they get better and better. And when you play great defense, you want to play in the playoffs, you want to play late in the season, weather changes, wind blows, you always want to play great defense. And I think that's one thing we can count on with Oklahoma.
When we come back, another coaching change potentially in the conference. It's amazing, but we'll talk about it right here on the Bowden Blitz. Coming right back.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, we're taking a look at week number 10 in the SEC. Auburn had a little bit of momentum after their road win the week before in week number 9 in Fayetteville. They knocked off the Arkansas Razorbacks to pick up their first conference win. They played Kentucky, another team that was winless in the SEC, coach. They laid 9.5, 10 points Saturday night in the Plains. You thought this was definitely potentially the second win for Hugh Freeze in the conference, and the Tigers, they laid up yet again, 10-3. They didn't score a touchdown against Kentucky. Hugh Freeze was fired at the end of that matchup. They're going to be looking for a new head coach entering 2026. You see some names potentially listed by Front Office Sports right there about some of the names that have been bought out. What is the situation in Auburn heading into week number 11?
Well, I mean, it was too much. I mean, Hugh's only problem is not only that he's the head coach and that he hasn't had a winning season and they're not winning. He also is the play caller. The offense has been horrendous. He's the play caller. And I like you. I'm a Hugh fan, but they don't do anything offensively. Then he also controls what quarterbacks they bring in. And Jackson Arnold, you got to ask yourself, with an unlimited NIL budget, was he look at all the quarterbacks that went out. Menza, look at all the quarterbacks. Mentir, look at all the quarterbacks. Mendoza, look at all the quarterbacks that people picked up. But he said, this is the guy we want. So he really, all the things that you have to be held accountable for, he has to look himself in the mirror. He has to look up to everybody and say, I made these decisions. They felt that there wasn't enough to go with. They had to make their move. And the bad thing is it's kind of like LSU. They come up with all these reasons why you're going to fire. You play too much golf. You don't look good in a press conference. You didn't win enough. Hugh did not win enough. He didn't win the big games. He lost enough ball games. And now it's time for Auburn to build with DJ Durkin. The defensive coordinator is going to take over, take them till the end of the season. Then they've got to make sure they don't do three fired coaches in a row or three losing coaches in a row.
Yeah, so let's look at this big picture. Okay. So they get the win Saturday, week number 9, against Arkansas. They were basically a 2.5-point road underdog. They made the quarterback switch from the first half. Jackson Arnold, he did throw a touchdown pass. They move on from Jackson Arnold after they fell behind 21-10. They get Ashton Daniels in there. They pull the second half of that ball game out, win it. They then name Ashton Daniels the starter. He completes, coach, only 13 of 28 passes, 108 yards, no touchdowns. The rushing attack with Cobb was ineffective. They only averaged 3.9 yards per carry. We talked about, you know, the body of work on the Plains and the success potentially of all Auburn quarterbacks, and most importantly, Hugh Freeze's success at Liberty. Malik Willis, Caden Salter, mobile type of guys, and he never had that entering this year. Jackson Arnold was an unproven commodity, didn't step up with a better team potentially at Oklahoma, and they decided to move on from him and go with John Mateer, and at least that's paying off in dividends. Why was it, though, that Hugh couldn't just find the personnel? Was it a money perspective, or was it just, you know, that he didn't want to go that route at Auburn?
You know, the people at Auburn are saying, they say the NIL commitment is there. If they've got to have the player, they take him. I think there are those on the inside that felt like they made some early runs at Cam Ward, didn't happen, that he had recruited Jackson Arnold as a high school player and gotten some a relationship there. And once he got on that route and didn't get a Cam Ward, that's where he turned to. Whatever the reason is, that was his decision, and it wasn't the best one that it didn't work out. And so is it because the quarterbacks are not good enough? Because the backup quarterback was a pretty highly sought quarterback as well. And again, let's go look at all the people in the country that are having pretty good success with their starter or with their second quarterback, depending on running the system that makes them be successful. So I still think at Auburn, they've got to look at their overall scheme. You know, they still had 5 or 6. Six sacks Saturday on the quarterback. Yeah. He was scrambling all day. They couldn't protect him at all, and so that was one of the things they could not do. So again, they're gonna have to. Whoever comes in's got to make sure they have the offense in control, because right now, and that begs the question: Is the new guy DK Durkin the defensive coordinator, or is it a guy that might retain him? Because that guy's got the deep. Everybody in the country knows they're playing great defense.
Yeah, they are. DJ Durkin will be the interim coach. I do want to bring this up because this came out earlier today. I don't know if you saw this, but CBS writer that covers college football, John Talty, came out and had said that Tommy Tuberville had urged Hugh Freeze at the start of the year to bring in Diego Pavia from New Mexico State, and Vanderbilt did get him, you know, obviously a couple of years ago with that transfer. Thoughts about that? Because according to the report, and I have to dive deeper, coach, is that Hugh Freeze ignored that from Tommy Tuberville, giving him some advice to go after Diego Pavia.
Yeah, I saw that article, and I'm wondering, what kind of, because that guy had a lot of other undisclosed names. Tuberville was probably the only name he threw out there. I would be kind of surprised that Tuberville would publicly, at Auburn, would publicly discredit the head coach's decision on that. But Pavia, I wonder if Hugh could have actually utilized Pavia the right way. You don't just bring Pavia in. You've got to run an offense that he's good at, and I'm not sure that's something that he can do in the style of quarterback that he wants to do. He's likes a different – he's not as good. I'm not sure he's as good at running that offense. They brought the whole package in. Question is, there were a lot of people that said a lot of things about Hugh Freeze. My whole contention was, buddy, you got to win. You got to win. You had two losing seasons. It wasn't the best situation when you got there with Brian Harsin, but you've got to get that thing turned around. So there were a lot of quarterbacks out there with the plenty of NIL money, which they have. He could have gotten, and now they've got to decide what they're going to do in the next move.
Well, I do want to bring up where Auburn rates compared to LSU in Florida, because we're going to have a number of different coaches potentially jockeying for all these jobs. Where does Auburn turn?
Well, I mean, like you say, that just like the article you referenced of John Talty, that it's not Florida, it's not LSU, because you're not even the best program in your own state. and you're competing with Alabama, I contend with that because I had a winning record against Alabama. Tommy Tuberville had a winning record against Alabama. Get the right guy. I think it's a great job. They just got to get the right guy. And when they get the wrong guy, it ain't a good job.
We'll come back. We'll take a look at week 11 in the SEC right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden taking a look at week number 11 in the SEC, top 25 battles across the board. But we'll start with a rivalry game. Brian Kelly out in Baton Rouge. Frank Wilson, the new interim coach. There's been an extra week of preparation for both teams heading into this ball game. Alabama's only lost one time dating back to 2020 at home in Bryant-Denny. We've seen them step up against a better competition this season. They opened up as an 11.5, 12-point favorite. Coach, we're seeing 10.5s in the market. What can we expect out of LSU, and can they cover this number Saturday night in Tuscaloosa?
Well, you know, first of all, their offense has not been that good, so they will have a different play caller. Somebody else will be calling the shots. And we've seen that a lot of these teams who get rid of their coach, They pull together and they play pretty good. Florida played pretty good. We saw Virginia Tech play pretty good early. We saw Arkansas play pretty good. We've seen these teams play pretty good with this new, just a new positive, let's try to circle the wagons and play good together type of attitude. I think you could see that because defensively they've played well at LSU. They can keep this game close. And I think if they can have a little bit of juice on offense, I think Alabama's is a team, like I mentioned earlier, like Georgia, they can score. They are solid all over. But I don't think they dominate you on defense. They give up some points. And so I think LSU has a great chance to cover to take the numbers and stay close enough to come out of there at least by 10 points or less.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the offensive line. I'm concerned about the rushing attack. And I am concerned about their now this mindset. This is a rivalry game. Make no mistake about it. And we talk about the pride of LSU, and a lot of former players came back, and I've been watching practice. But I am concerned now entering this matchup. What does the offense look like? Are they going to have more of a commitment to the rushing attack? And are they looking for a lower scoring game to go up against Ty Simpson and the Alabama Crimson Tide? Because if they force this tempo on the road, I think Alabama potentially could put up 30, 35 points on their defense, and then they could get blown out in this matchup. 10.5 points is a huge number. To your point, we've seen these teams that lose their coaches step up. Whitweek still not potentially going to play in this game. He's the emotional leader. We saw other teams like Vanderbilt and obviously Texas A&M be more physical. Alabama needs to win out the rest of the way. There is no margin of error for the Crimson Tide entering this week. I would say the best bet for me is under the 50.5, just because I don't know if LSU is built to get into a high-scoring game, especially with that inconsistent offensive line right now.
No, I've got the under. I think I'm there with you just as well. I just think sometimes we read too much into it. I mean, face it, is LSU's offense going to get worse? And a lot of times, I'm going to say this because I've coached and I've had to deal with it. Sometimes it isn't your offensive line. They don't play well because they don't line up on their toes. They line up on their heels because you got them pass setting too much. You don't have them leaning forward. You don't call the plays. You don't mix it up well. You don't work on it on the offseason. I really don't think always it's just the offensive line. Sometimes the imagination of the coach, the mix of the pass and the run. You want them to think run when you got pass going. You want them to think pass when you're going to run the football. We'll see if that imagination, that little difference, can make a difference because they've got a good quarterback. They've got good talent. And none of us know exactly why they don't run it as well as they should. I'm just saying is you get a new guy calling the plays, that can change a lot of things. I don't think they'll score a lot of points. I'm with you there. But I think they can stay close to Alabama and keep this thing at least very interesting.
The game of the day, Texas A&M ranked third in the country, takes on Missouri. They're a 5.5 point, or now up to 7.5. Opened as 5.5 point road favorites. We're seeing 7.5s come in. Matt Zoller's the freshman for the Tigers that came in for Bo Perbula, will get the start. I think Missouri potentially could be live in this matchup. The fact that they're playing at home, I like the Tigers plus the 7.5 points early on.
I wish I could tell you I know enough about a third quarterback, true freshman, who's their third quarterback, because I don't know how you have three of them. And I'm just saying this, if he is the real deal or if he has poise and he's relaxed, Missouri's going to play good football. But you've got a Texas A&M team that's one of the top teams with sacking quarterbacks. They've got 32 sacks in their 8 games. They're going to put pressure on this young guy. So I'm one of those coaches that says, you know what, it's hard to have two quarterbacks, much less three. And it's not like either of the first two can come back to help him out. He's all they've gotten. So it's going to be a low-scoring game, I think, in this game. At Texas A&M, we've seen it. If they've got to score points, they can score points. So I just got to feel like Texas A&M is going to beat them, and I think they're going to be able to pull away. I don't think there's any way this quarterback, I'll be shocked if they can do, just don't make mistakes. That's what he's going to do and help them win as a team.
We'll be back later in the week for Coach Bowden. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great week, everyone.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.